Hey, hey, welcome to When Songs Mean Business. I'm your host, Steph Belcher. Before we get into today's guest, I want to let you know about a free virtual workshop I'm hosting on Zoom called Level Up Your Business. Leveling up means that you are tired of playing small and you are ready to make some big moves with your music. In this workshop, you'll learn how to develop a pricing strategy that pays you what you're actually worth and how to communicate that value. You'll set some big goals that will move you into the next realm of your music, and you'll learn about the paperwork that you need to file to be a true professional. This free workshop happens January 10th through the 14th, and you can sign up by going to stephbelcher.com/levelup. There's a link in the show notes, and please make sure to follow us on Instagram and join our Facebook group. Today, you'll hear me doing a live coaching session with one of my undergrad students, so let's just dive right in. Hello, welcome to When Songs Mean Business. I'm Steph Belcher, and today I am talking with one of my undergraduate Dime students, Chesney Walters, and this is my first live coaching session. So I will be talking to Chesney about the things that she's going through as an independent musician, the lead singer of a band called Otto, and working in the industry as a production assistant, working in management, doing all kinds of different business activities, and someone who's about to graduate college and officially go out into the real world with that bachelor's degree certificate, ready to take on the world, right?
Yes.
Yeah, are you excited?
Really soon here. I am really excited. Yeah, it's been a long time, but I'm excited to, like, you know, really be separate from the degree and the college and the learning and really be able to dive into the hands-on, like, doing. So it's been, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah. You can just check it off the list, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right now, like, I am working in the industry and I'm doing those things at the same time. And so I think it's going to be really nice to be able to put all of my energy into the things that I'm already kind of working on and starting dipping my toe in, you know? It's going to be a good transition, I think.
So with regards to this coaching session, you know, just to let the listeners know, I put a call out on Facebook and or Instagram maybe, and I said, who wants to be coached in a live session on my podcast so that you, my listeners, can get an idea of what it is that I do for a living? Because this podcast is a supplement to what I teach. And this coaching program that I'm putting together is something that I think will really benefit emerging artists as they're moving from college or a hobby musicianship into professional. And, you know, with my experience as a tax preparer and business manager, I did a lot of that when I was at the CPA firm, like making people legit. Mm-hmm. So I put a call out and said, who wants to be coached? And Chesney, when we were in school together, you were always one of the first people to jump for opportunities. And so I knew that Chesney was going to reply. And I was so excited when she did. First person to reply, first person to write back to the email, first person to schedule.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you are I say this a lot. Luck is just showing up for opportunities. Mm-hmm. And if you don't show up, you're never going to get lucky. You know, if you don't buy the lottery ticket, you're not going to win. And you buy every lottery ticket that you can. And I love that about you. So I'm super excited for this conversation. Yeah. So I want to just dive right in. So tell me a little bit about kind of your history with the music business, how you got started. What was your first job in the music industry?
Let's see. So right out of high school, I went to this little college program in California called the Young Americans College of Performing Arts. It's a nonprofit organization and they do tours and they teach kids music in like a summer camp setting. So I joined, they also have a college. So I went there after high school in the mindset of like, I don't really know what I want to study or what I want to do with my life. Let me go take, you know, 2 years at this associate's degree college program, teach kids music, do what I know I love. Because I had, at that point, had been into music a lot, like in the school setting. So I did that for 2 years. I went on some international and national tours for like 3 to 5 months, which was amazing. Cool. I got to see the world. I got to teach kids how to be confident and how to sing and dance. It was so much fun. And then after that, I was like, okay, I gotta do something. I gotta graduate. I have to find a 4-year college where I can get a real bachelor's degree. And I had no idea still what I wanted to do. So I just like sat there and I was like, what have I done over the past few years that I've loved the most? And I had the opportunity with the Young Americans on one of my tours to business manage that tour. So I basically handled all the accounting. I was like in spreadsheets all day. Like I was selling tickets, handling merch, you know, doing all the business accounting on the tour in each town as like the point of contact. And then I would like report back to my people in California. And I just loved it. So I was like, okay, that's music and business. And I just Googled enough that I found a music business school where I was moving here in Detroit. And that's kind of how I got. So that was technically my first job, was a business manager on a tour. And then I came to Dime and kind of got into the band side of the music industry and what the music industry even was. I was mostly on like the, you know, show tunes, Broadway, like dancing with kids, like music teacher side. And then moving here and going to Dime, I was like, oh, there's a whole universe of music business, music industry, touring, bands that I don't even know. So that first year that I was at Dime, I think I was in one of your classes and I remember just sitting there and being like, this is crazy. Like there's so many things you can do under music business. Yeah. So from there, I just was like, okay, like what can I try? I did some street team work. I've done some production assistant work. I've done some sets and building stuff. I've done some box office stuff. I've done some merch stuff. Just anything that anybody needs. I'm like, what can I do? What can I learn? Yeah. So that's kind of been my past year or two here.
That's great. What keeps jumping out at you is things that you really love doing.
I love making things happen, like organizing them and then making them like a reality. So I really love the prep work side of like advancing and organizing things and making sure everything, all the ducks are in a row to then like make something cool come out, like release a song or put on a show. Or I love the administrative little detail side. I think that's kind of what I found.
Yeah, that like accumulates into a thing.
Yeah.
Cool. I love to hear about, you know, all the stuff that you've tried, but I don't want to dive too deep into the past because your future is ahead of you and it's going to be amazing. And I want to know what's on your mind with regards to this coaching session, your future. Like, what are we looking at here? To lay it out for me.
Yeah, well, I guess mainly it's kind of managing working in the industry, in the music industry as a performer and songwriter and like musician and as a business person, production assistant on both sides. So you're on the stage and you're behind the scenes and kind of balancing how to keep track of being like self-employed and doing all those things, like how to keep yourself organized, I guess, and what's like actually allowed and what actually isn't when you're starting a business with a band, but also like your own independent self too, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. I think those are really, really great questions. What do you think is the real challenge for you specifically in this situation?
I find myself maybe not sure if what I'm doing is like totally above board almost. Like taxes scare me. I'm pretty sure they scare everybody like a little bit. But I remember last year I did Schedule C for the first time, like not knowing I was going to have to do it. And it was like a nightmare. So this year I like prepared, I have like a spreadsheet of all my expenses related to anything and my, you know, income from different jobs. So like I'm going in somewhat more prepared for tax season again, but I've like have so many different income streams from different projects that like are run differently and then band stuff and so many expenses that span a range of different projects. Like sometimes I'm buying stuff for my band or paying for a mix. And then other times I'm buying an earpiece so my production earpiece doesn't hurt my ear. Like are those things, you can write those off because you're buying them for your business. But if you're like, I guess my biggest struggle is like, where's the line and how do I delineate that so I can keep myself organized? So when I am doing my taxes, I'm not like, I don't know, you know, and everything's kind of like above board.
Yeah. So I want to dive a little bit deeper into kind of the structure of businesses and what the IRS expects. But I have one more question for you first before we do that. Tell me a little bit about kind of what your goals are for both the production jobs and then the business jobs and the band? And, you know, like, what does the future look like for each of those two projects?
For the production jobs, you know, I'd love to do more of them, be able to make a living off that entirely without having a day job. That would be great. Just kind of be able to pay for my life with doing stuff I love. And then for the band, I'd love to just be able to fund band projects without having to pull out of pocket for them as much. So okay. Income we make from merch or playing shows, I would love to put that back into the next album or EP and eventually potentially paying ourselves back for the expenses we've had for this like first thing, or making a little income off that too and not just funding it. So sure. It's kind of like a two-step thing on the band side.
Yeah. Okay. Those are great questions. Within the production assistant position, do you usually freelance for that, or are you usually an employee?
Usually I freelance, but I work for AudioTree occasionally, and that I'm like an employee of AudioTree.
Okay.
But the rest of it is all freelance. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then for the band, how is the band organized as a business? Is it a partnership, or tell me about that?
That is kind of the big thing. It's currently just we all pay for stuff and then figure it out. We don't have an LLC. We're not like registered as a business. And I feel like I'm very quickly approaching a place that's going to become necessary. We like weren't sure what was going to happen with everything, but things are kind of moving with the band. So I think that's probably the answer. But right now, no, we have like no organizational structure really.
Okay. And then how many different people within the band are writing songs? And the second part of that question is, how are they being published?
Three of us write the song. There's four of us in the band.
Okay.
Three of us mainly write the songs, but the fourth one always has input as well.
Okay.
So we all kind of collaborate on them, but we all split the cost. So we all split equally the like ownership of the composition.
Okay, great. Yeah. And then have you published them? I know you have one single out. So you're using the pro publishing.
So we distribute via CD Baby. Okay. They're all registered with ASCAP. I have a publishing under SongTrust. I don't believe my bandmates have publishing set up.
Okay. All right. Before I start diving into advice, is there anything else that you thought of that might come up?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that's main.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. So I want to start with kind of like the overall structure of how the IRS works with regards to like what they're doing, right? So the IRS is the government's division of revenue, and they are keeping track of all the businesses and all the individuals in the whole country. And the way that they do that is always by number. So you have a social security number, and all of the income that you earn is funneled through that social security number. Every business that you work for has a different number, and that's called an employer identification number. And then on top of that, every industry has its own different code, and that's a business code. So when you filled out your Schedule C, you had to pick a business code.
Yeah.
Do you remember which one you picked?
I think it was like entertainment or entertainer or something like that. It was the closest thing I could find to like music business professional.
Yeah. Underneath the entertainment section, there's a whole bunch of different codes. You could pick independent performer, which is probably what you ended up picking. You can pick manager. You can pick event manager. And there's all these different ones, right? Mm-hmm. So what they do with that information is that they use it. The Bureau of Labor Statistics uses that. So if you put that you are an independent performer, and that's how you make most of your money, then the IRS is going to use your tax return to like run statistics and see how much money are independent performers making, right? Putting independent performer also generally means that the royalties that you're earning from your songwriting are part of your self-employment and are subject to self-employment tax, which is a good thing for you when you retire, because it's all going toward your social security fund, but it also makes your tax bill higher. So the very first question that I usually ask people when they're in this exact situation is the band a business or is it a hobby? And if it's a business, that means that all the people who are involved have the intention of running a profit eventually. Mm-hmm. Like, you're profit minded. You're going to change your operations. If you're not profitable, you're doing it because, you know, you want to be business people about it. Mm-hmm. And if it's not that, and it's a hobby, then it's taxed totally differently and you don't need a Schedule C, and it's just like a whole different ballgame.
Okay.
So that's my first question for you. Is it a business or is it a hobby?
I think honestly, that's where I don't know if I even know the answer. It's currently a hobby, but okay. I think 5-year plan, 2-year plan, we want it to be a business.
Okay.
But like, I think we all have our own like different jobs as well. So it's like, it is currently in the hobby category.
Sure.
But what's the line that, like, is there a way to decide which one it is, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, there's rules, like there's IRS rules. Most of them have to do with, are you profit driven?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, do you rely on it for your day-to-day income?
Yeah. Okay. So I don't think it's any of our like day-to-day income at all. Like, it's definitely a hobby that we're doing because we want to and it's fun, okay. Not with the intention to like pay ourselves or pay for our lives with it.
Sure.
Very much a passion project. Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, you don't necessarily have to go down the road of establishing an LLC, getting all that stuff. You don't necessarily have to do that right now. Okay. It doesn't have to be like something that you do before the end of 2021. It can be on your radar, and it should be a conversation that you guys are like constantly having.
Yeah.
Is this still a hobby, or are we ready to go legit? Mm-hmm. And it might be the kind of conversation where one person leaves or two people leave because they actually don't want it to be a profit driven thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is the kind of conversation that breaks bands up sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that to happen to you guys. Of course, I don't want it to happen to any band that's making good music, but there are definitely different goals for different people, you know? And so it's not the easiest conversation to have, but it's really important. It's really important to have it right at the beginning, because we've seen so many different people start down a road and then the band explodes. And the music starts getting played, and you start mm-hmm. getting royalty checks, and you start getting big gig offers. And then the other people in the band are like, but wait, I thought this was just a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And then two people in the band are like, oh, but I thought that it was going to be my day job. I thought I was going to be a famous rock star.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, well, we should have had this conversation 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So at this juncture in your life, you should continue to publish your songs. Because as a songwriter, you are always entitled to songwriter royalties, whether you have a business or not. That's the nice thing about royalties, is that on the tax return, they're technically considered a capital gain. So you are creating an asset and a piece of intellectual property. And mm-hmm. anytime you license that asset to anybody, you are entitled to different royalty streams from that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll definitely want to make sure that you are registering it to all the songwriters and that you're publishing it. The next question that I have is publishing it under an LLC. And that gets to be a little bit more tricky, because you are creating intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
And that intellectual property is going to continue to exist even if the band breaks up. So there is an argument for you guys starting an LLC that its sole purpose is to hold your publishing as a band. And then that band, the publishing entity for the band, the other option is for all four of you to have your own individual publishing companies.
Yeah.
Which is totally an option.
Yeah.
And if you're writing songs with a bunch of different bands,
mm-hmm.
that might be the way that you want to go. If you're like, I'm an individual songwriter, then you're going to want your own publishing company. But if this feels really tricky to you,
mm-hmm.
it might be worth it to have a conversation with the whole band, with an attorney.
Yeah. We've thought about that. We've actually talked about that several times. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I know a lot of basics about it, But once you start to really dive into the specifics about like, does this person have a publishing company? Does this person have, it gets to be like a lawyer can make a flow of it. Mm-hmm. And a lawyer can help you set up a plan for what's going to happen if somebody does leave. Mm-hmm. And that's a really big part of what happens when people are collectively writing songs together. And then one of them leaves, like who gets the rights to the songs if all four of you published them under the same LLC?
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are the types of questions that like I can moderate, but I can't draw up like the formal legal contracts about it. Mm-hmm. So that's usually when I start pointing people towards attorneys.
Yeah.
And it's worth it for whatever the cost is, because it's a deduction.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. So it's worth it to like, you know, if it's a challenge for you and it's a roadblock to further creativity, like just meet with a lawyer and work it out, you know, cause it would take probably an hour or two. You'll get through it all. You'll have a plan of action. You'll have contracts and maybe an LLC. And then you're like, cool. Now I feel secure. I feel like I can be creative with these people and write songs and move forward with my life, and that everything's protected no matter what happens. And that's, it's such a nice peace of mind to have as you like go forward.
Yeah.
Does that help?
It definitely does. Okay. I think we are kind of all on the same page of like, we're going to be individuals because we do all collaborate in other projects as well. Like this isn't our only project, any of us, which is kind of nice, but definitely like I have everything registered. Like I have my publishing, like I have everything for me. And then I think we run into complications when like we play a show and we're going to get, you know, paid for the show ideally. But when they ask for W-9, do we send them four W-9s? Like that seems excessive. Like, we send them the one. So who is that? And then if it's like mine, it usually is my, like, I just take care of the money. So if it's mine, then am I going to, how does that work? Like, am I going to have to file that on my taxes for personal stuff? So that's where we're like, oh, we should probably start an LLC so we can just have it, the band take care of it. Sorry. But that's where I'm like, oh, I should probably like consult with someone and ask those questions and like figure out that part.
Yeah. So if you are already playing gigs that are asking you for W-9s, then you might already be at the point of being considered professionals.
Okay.
You asked where the line is. That's one of the lines.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like we got to a point where it became necessary to like have that. And so I'm like, oh, maybe I should put that in place so it's there.
Yeah. 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 So that, I mean, hobby musicians usually get paid in cash or they can say, you know, like what you just said, oh, just make it out to me and I'll just pay them. And you're not keeping track of expenses. You're just like I can give an example. My husband is in a cover band. And they just play people's birthday parties for cash, you know, and that's like purely hobby. But yeah, if people are asking you for W-9s, then you do want to register.
Okay.
And that kind of changes my advice about that. Yeah. And so the question then becomes, who's going to own the company? And in the eyes of the IRS, business owners have put in capital. So they have invested either time or money or assets. Time is hard to quantify on a tax return. Money and assets are easy to quantify. So it kind of becomes like when you start a business and you're filing your very first partnership return, the IRS is going to ask you, how much money has this partner invested into the startup costs of the business? And they literally want you to write a number in there.
Yeah.
So a lot of times in the first tax return for a partnership, that number is the expenses that you covered in the first year before you were registered. So like you said, you're all putting in expenses. That's money that you're investing into the business at the beginning. That's like your capital investiture, right?
Yeah.
So you're all going to go in with some kind of capital investiture, and that amount should fall along the percentage lines of how much you own of the business. So the person who put in 50% of the capital would own 50% of the business. You know, like if you're trying to buy into like a company, you have to put money into it, right? So what I found with most bands is that they're going to split it evenly, mm-hmm. regardless of how much money people are actually like putting in on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So you're, there's four of you, you each have 25% ownership yeah. of this partnership. That's mm-hmm. fine. If you can keep it so that you like, let's say hypothetically, just for easy math, the expenses for the first year were $6,000. Mm-hmm. If each of you contributed $1,500 and it was an even split 25%, your accountant would be really happy with that.
Yeah. It's pretty close to that. We do okay. split everything almost. I think there's like, we've paid for a few things that three of us have split because the other person like with like rehearsals and stuff, but sure. most of it is perfectly even 25% across okay. the board. Income
your accountant payment. Will love that.
Yeah.
Because that just makes, it just makes the balance sheet easier. So if you were to file the partnership now, it would be active for 2022. Mm-hmm. And as a partnership, you would have to have an employer identification number or an EIN, even though technically none of you are going to be employees. You're all going to okay. be owners. And when you pay mm-hmm. yourselves, you're taking a draw. And that means that you are drawing money out of the business to use for personal reasons. If you were to draw money out of the business and spend it on your personal stuff, it's taxable mm-hmm. as personal income for okay. income tax and Social Security tax.
Yes.
And then a partnership, you also get taxed on the profit and it comes through on a K-1. So when you start a partnership, you're going to have to file a different kind of tax return. You're going to have to file, it's mm-hmm. called a 1065. And you put in all the band's income. That's income that's going to the band's employer identification number.
Yeah.
Right? So like when somebody asks you for a W-9, to get back to your original question, when somebody asks yeah. you for a W-9, you're going to have Otto the Band LLC.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Unique employer identification number. That links back to that LLC. And then you're going to check multi-member LLC partnership. Mm-hmm. And they're going to issue you a check or a payment to that name. And mm-hmm. so you'll have to put that in a business bank account because none yes. of you as individuals would be able to cash that check.
Yeah.
And you can also start a business PayPal account, business Venmo. Mm-hmm. You could get Square and Stripe and put them all under there. I want to warn you too, that when you get that business bank account, all the partners have to be present mm-hmm. for the opening. You all have to sign it. All of your names will have to be on everything. If somebody was going to try to take out a loan or a line of credit or anything like that, all four of you would have to approve it.
Okay.
And you'll want to make sure of that when you sit down with your banker.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you mean like a loan or line of credit for their personal, like themselves or for,
no, for the band,
the name of the, okay. Sweet.
In
sweet.
The name of the band. Yeah. Like yeah. all four of your credits would be run mm-hmm. as okay. a partnership. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yep. 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 And just double check that with the bank. Say that like,
yeah,
we don't want any one partner to be able to take out a loan in this business's name without us at least signing off on it.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, that's like an important conversation.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And most banks, I mean, banks these days have so many regulations, but yeah. Okay. So you'll open the bank account, you'll go play the show. They'll mm-hmm. write you a check to the band's name, and then they're going to issue you a 1099 for whatever they paid you. And then when you go to do your tax return, you're going to collect all those 1099s and add them all up. Count them against what you deposited into the bank. Mm-hmm. Make sure that it matches. Mm-hmm. You'll want to keep track of all the other income that you collected along the way, like merch, cash, tips, technically are taxable, yeah. you know, all the other income streams along the way.
Yes.
And then you'll have to switch all the expenses over to the business's name. Once the partnership is formed, you do not want to keep paying for those as individuals
okay.
because it changes the way that you deduct them and it makes it a little sloppier. So then you'll move everything over to becoming out of the business's band account. Mm-hmm. So like the website, the CD baby, whatever you guys agree. So then connect the bank account to like QuickBooks or FreshBooks, and everything's going to be in and out. So you can run a profit and loss report in that bookkeeping software at the end of the year and see, here's how much we made. Here's how much came out of the checking account. And then anything else that the partners paid, the business either needs to reimburse them before the end of the year, mm-hmm. or it can go on their tax return. But I don't like to do that. That's complicated.
Okay.
It's like unreimbursed partner expenses, and it's just kind of like not the best way, but I don't actually want to get into that.
What if you're doing that? So you're saying like, if I went to buy stamps to send tickets, that would be a business expense, and it wouldn't be my expense that I would do on my separate taxes. It would be on the business's taxes.
Yeah. You swipe the band card.
Okay. What if the band account doesn't have money in it and it does have to come out of pocket?
Yeah. Then the band will reimburse you as soon as they can.
Okay.
So then the band will write you a check for mm-hmm. $48 or whatever.
Yeah.
And write in there, or like PayPal it to you, Venmo it to you, and write in the mm-hmm. memo stamp reimbursement.
Okay.
And so when it comes through QuickBooks, you see $48 to Chesney on 12/12.
Yeah.
You know, for $48. And then you flag that reimbursement as office expenses.
Okay. From the band. It's office expenses from the band. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yes. Cause it's cool. It's like, it's the same money, whether it's going to the post office or whether it's going to you, it's the same money. Mm-hmm. But you, if the band got audited, you would have to prove, here's the receipt.
Yes. Okay.
And then they would be like, oh, but this checking account on this receipt, it doesn't match the band's checking account. And then you're like, right, the band didn't have the money at that time. I'm an owner. I lent the business $48 and they paid me right back. And you just have to have a paper trail. You just have to have a paper trail for everything.
Sweet. And then up to now, all of our individual expenses would be counted as like the capital, like the startup costs kind of.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
And is that something that we write off on our personal, or is that hobby money? Can we write that stuff off? Like, can I write off the, cause it's been like, it's a good chunk of money that we've invested into like what we're doing. Where does that go?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. So that's a really technical question. I'm going to try to answer that without like getting into accountant mm-hmm. mode. When you start a company, you are technically creating an asset, a business mm-hmm. asset. So that investiture is, they call it capital because it's an asset.
Yeah.
The easiest way that I can explain this is to actually talk about it in terms of real estate. And mm-hmm. yeah. I try to only use music examples, but this one, the real estate one, just makes sense. If you were buying a property and you had to come up with costs ahead of the property, so you're buying like an apartment building or something mm-hmm. like that. Oh, you know what? Let's make it a music. Let's say you're buying a concert venue. Okay. So you're buying a concert venue that is an actual piece of real estate, right? So there's all these costs leading up to the time that you close on the property and get the keys. If you mm-hmm. never get the keys, you technically don't own that property and you don't get to like write it off, right? So all those expenses are going toward the asset. And that's exactly why they call it a capital investiture. And that's, you are taking money from the rest of your life and investing it into this new capital project. And mm-hmm. so the way that it ends up looking on the tax return is that the business has assets of cash invested by the owners. And then when you go to take money out of it, when you're profitable, the first thing that it's going to do is decrease your capital investiture. So the first chunk of money that you take out might not be taxable, because you're actually just decreasing your capital in the company first. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? It's so hard to explain it in words and not in writing.
Yeah, no. So let's say I spend $900 on everything that it's going to cost to do what we've done so far. At this point, we start an LLC, we get an EIN number, and the $900 that we each spent up to now is our capital investiture.
Yeah.
And that is now like the business.
Yeah. And
so that we can't write that off on our personal stuff.
No, not
that's
yet.
Just like an investment into the future. And right. Then when we make money as a band, hopefully, fingers crossed, yeah, we kind of pay ourselves back that $900 or however much to like make that initial investment less. And yeah, potentially that paying ourselves back is potentially not taxed.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a yes, little confusing, yes, but I got it.
It's easier in writing. Yeah. You explained it really well. Yeah. And there's different ways that you can do it. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that you're going to want to talk to with the attorney when you're setting up the LLC, because it's something that you'll want to put in your operating agreement.
Yeah.
Is do these partners expect to get reimbursed for their capital investiture, or mm-hmm, are they giving it to the company?
Yeah.
Is it a loan or is it a gift, basically? Mm-hmm. And the way that it's taxed afterwards depends on that. If it's a loan, you don't get to write it off, but it's not taxable when they pay you back.
Okay.
If it's a capital investiture, there are ways that you can write it off.
I guess that's more of a question of the line between your personal self-employment business that you're doing freelance and this other business. You have two.
Yeah.
And you should keep them separate. So it would make sense that you're not like crossing those mixing pots, you know?
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a minute, because that is one of the things I wanted to touch upon with your initial question. Your initial question at the beginning was, how do I keep everything separate? And what's the line between what's separate? And the easy answer to that is, who's the owner? Mm-hmm. And do you have to split the income or the expense with anybody?
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to start with the partnership, because
in
that regard, you have four owners. Mm-hmm. And you're splitting everything equally. And your PA stuff has nothing to do with that.
Totally.
They're just not involved. We are trained as tax preparers to think about everything in the question of what happens if it gets audited. Mm-hmm. Random audits happen all the time. So what happens if your PA stuff gets audited? We don't want to give them a reason to look at the band if they don't have to.
Yeah.
And if the band gets audited, we don't want to give them a reason to look at your personal stuff if they don't have to.
Yeah.
We really want to just keep everything within its little container, right?
Yes.
And like, depending on the audit, they might end up looking at it anyway. And it's just kind of, you know, they have to follow their process. So with that being said, your PA stuff also falls under a different business code. And it would be a production code for event management or something along those lines. So that's different from being an individual performer.
It's,
and so you'll want a separate Schedule C for that. And that's okay.
Okay.
I mean, you're not going to have a Schedule C for your band because it's a partnership. It's not a Schedule C. So you'll want a Schedule C for your production. Mm-hmm. And then you'll want a partnership, which is going to kick out a K-1 that has whatever the band's profit or loss was. Mm-hmm. And then you might have a second Schedule C for yourself as an individual performer for anything that you do that's outside of the band.
Okay.
So like, if you did a solo show or something like that.
So you do have to have, I thought Schedule C was just one thing, but it is going to be two separate depending on what you're doing.
Yeah. Depending on that code.
Okay.
That's really what it comes down to, is that business code number. And so if the activity that you're participating in doesn't fit under the business code of what your Schedule C already is, then you need another one.
Okay.
And you can have as many Schedule Cs as you actually have.
Okay.
You could have a whole bunch of them. if you wanted to. But it all ends up getting aggregated on one sheet on the tax return. And it all gets added up together. And then that whole number gets subjected to self-employment tax as a total.
Yeah.
And then the total amount of your self-employment activities together are all subject to self-employment tax.
So all the money I'm making from different self-employment activities is added up.
Yes.
And all the costs from those self-employment activities are added up. And if you minus the costs from the profits, whatever's left over is what you're going to be paying.
Correct.
Tax on, but they're all aggregated.
Correct. And if you're married, it's aggregated together with your spouse too. Okay. So like my husband was profitable and I wasn't. And so it came up as profitable.
Okay.
On the front page of our tax return.
Yeah. So if your husband was profitable and you weren't, is the, maybe you didn't lose, but is the not profit, is that taken away from the total number that he made or are they separate?
No, they're combined. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Sweet. Yeah. 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 It's all combined onto one line basically. Like,
yeah.
So like you'll have a Schedule C, so you'll have income minus expenses and you'll have a net. And then that net gets added to this net, added to this net, added to this net. And then it all goes forward on the front page and self-employment tax gets added in there along the way. But for income tax purposes, that's where it hits, is on the front page of the tax return. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So what would someone in this position need to do to make sure all that's happening? Like, what are the different aspects? Because kind of what I'm going forward knowing I need to do is start an LLC for the band, get an EIN number, get all that sorted out, keep track of what our capital investiture was, put that all together. And that's going to require an attorney, right?
An attorney will help. Yeah. I mean, you can do it yourself, but an attorney would definitely help.
Okay. And then probably some kind of bookkeeping program like QuickBooks or something would be needed or helpful. Is there anything else that like resources or people that we should like, that could help do this? Like any other aspects that you find helpful or would recommend?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, not to like promote myself, but me, you know, so here's this is kind of the problem with like the modern music business. Is that we have provided all of these resources for DIY musicians to make their own money through Kickstarter and DistroKid, CD Baby. There's Shopify. There's all these different ways for people to make money, but there are no business managers who will work with emerging artists because the business management industry in the music business works on commission.
Yeah.
It's the only accounting industry in the entire country that works on commission. It doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah. Like in other accounting industries, working on commission is like illegal or unethical or frowned upon. Yeah. You can't really sit down with somebody and charge them a percentage of their income to do their taxes.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way, but for some reason it does in the music business. And this has baffled me. I've been doing this now since 2009 and it just baffles me. Right.
Yeah.
I'm very specifically trying to fill a gap that exists for emerging artists and DIY musicians to have an expert to talk to about this stuff that's not going to ask for 5%. I'm just, I'm not. What's 5%? I don't want 5% of your loss. You know, like you need help starting a business. And if you were in any other industry, you would be able to go to your neighborhood accountant and they would help you set it up and they would help you walk you through the bookkeeping. They would advise you. And so that is the space that I am trying to fill.
Yeah.
And it's really just a matter of convincing people that they need it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's hard to convince somebody who has no money that they need help managing their money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the DIY space, I definitely feel the pressure to try to do it all myself or learn it, like, you know, graphics and songwriting and production and marketing and press and gigging and booking and accounting and being a business manager. I feel the pressure.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Well, you sit down sometimes and you're trying to write a song and you've got all of that happening. Yeah. And sometimes I think DIY, do it yourself, there's like pride in how much of that can you do by yourself with zero help. But you get to a point where like, it's just not humanly possible to have all those skills to the level they need to be to be successful. So I think that's also like a little symptom of the DIY hype. It's like we're trying to hustle or whatever, but we need help. Like it does take a village. There's no shame in collaboration and asking an expert. Like that's what they're there for, you know? So I think the more we talk about that and like show that we are asking for help. Yeah, I'm doing it myself with these people who know what they're talking about to help me.
Yeah.
That's better. But I think people don't, it's just not like doesn't come up as much, you know?
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. And, you know, accounting is something that people avoid. Like we have this joke that that getting your taxes done is like going to the dentist. You either go and get checkups every 6 months or you wait until you're in excruciating pain.
Yeah.
And that's the only time you ever go. And having this conversation with you is like your 6 month checkup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think everybody should have, after they get their business first set up, you should have a 6 month checkup with an accountant and just pop in and see that everything is hitting the accounts right, that you're not being overcharged for anything, that you've fulfilled all your invoices. I mean, accounting is like a whole career, you know, for a musician to really be doing it once they start to get busy, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, checking in to make sure that all of the payments are going into the right account and that checks that you wrote to other people or payments that you paid to other people got paid out properly and cleared.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a lot. So I have this group coaching program and we're going to make sure that everything is legit with our businesses. It's called Level Up Your Business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that process of going from not really knowing what to do to knowing what you specifically need, because it has to be customized. Yeah. You know, like that's a problem with giving like blanket tax advice. Everybody's situation is completely different from the next person's. Every single person's is different. And, you know, there's not a lot of like tax courses out there. Because
really not.
Because it depends. It all depends. Yeah. The answer to every single question in the tax world is it depends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so annoying. But at the same time, like it's just the truth. You know, how much of your income is taxable depends on where it's coming from, what else you have, if you're married, if you have dependents, if you have education credits. And it's like, I have to work individually one-on-one with people.
Yeah.
So I am trying to change the landscape of business management for emerging artists. That's like my mission in life, is to make it so that emerging artists think they need a business manager first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you need your band, you need a producer, you need a studio, and you need a business manager.
Yeah.
Graphic designer and photographer and somebody to make sure that all those people get paid. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to change the conversation about how income comes in, because business managers think about income way differently than musicians do.
Mm-hmm.
We think about it as investments and capital and ownership, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I hope you'll join the mastermind group.
Oh, absolutely. But, I'm sold. I'll be there.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you had asked me about expenses and deductions. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to check in. Do you have any questions about like what's deductible or anything like that?
Yeah, honestly, I do. I have a whole spreadsheet of
beautiful.
I know, right? I love a spreadsheet. It's really ridiculous, but it's helpful. It keeps me organized. I have a whole spreadsheet of everything that I spend and make doing the different things. And currently it's all band stuff and personal stuff together, but it's going to be easy to pick apart, which is nice. But I have I've heard that you can write off. Most of the things that I know about write-offs are like grapevine comments. Like I've heard that you can write off tickets to a friend's show if you're going to network, but what's the nuance of that? And like, is that true? Or I've heard that you can write off if you buy an outfit to perform in.
Yeah.
Specifically for that. I've heard you can write off that, but I don't actually know. So I have a list of all those things with like question marks and like color coded highlights. Like, is this legit? Can I do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's a question I do have about that stuff.
Yeah. Those are both great questions. So networking and entertainment are deductible, but they're usually only 50% deductible.
Okay.
So if you bought concert tickets and you went to St. Andrews and you bought a drink or two and you bought somebody else a drink, keep that receipt, and 50% of it is deductible as an entertainment expense.
Okay.
But with that said, if you were audited, you would have to prove that the only reason you went there was to network and that you wouldn't have gone if it wasn't for like a business purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But also I want to say in 2022, because of COVID, they have allowed 100% deductions for meals. So you might be able, it depends, but a lot of business meals are going to be 100% deductible for this upcoming year. So if you're listening to this beyond 2022, that might not be relevant anymore. I'm not sure what the future holds for that. But for 2022, yes, you should deduct all of your meals and your entertainment. Education is 100% deductible.
Okay.
So any courses that you take, any conferences that you go to, the travel to get to those conferences, and any like pure networking events that are educational in purpose, those you can write off 100%. But concert tickets tend to fall under entertainment in that regard. And then as far as outfits go, the question becomes, are you wearing this outfit in your day-to-day life? If you buy a pair of black jeans and you wear them every single day, including on stage, then they would be 20% deductible because you're wearing them on stage for 20% of the week, 20% of your life. It's not 100.
Yeah.
And you can split stuff by percentage like that. Like
for
your phone bill, if you spend 50% of your day on your cell phone doing business, then your cell phone's 50% deductible.
Really?
Yeah. I've never taken a phone bill over 80%.
What about like internet? I'm paying for internet in my apartment and I almost exclusively use it for business stuff and like TV sometimes. Can I do like whatever percent that I'm using it for, I can write that off?
Yeah, you can do your internet. I usually do anywhere between 30% and 50% for internet.
Yeah.
Don't do cable though. I wouldn't do television. Don't do Hulu. Don't do Netflix. Unless you are specifically subscribing to that for a business purpose. Like, you know, if you go to the car dealership and they have the TV on in the lobby, that's 100% deductible.
Okay.
But that's not like, you know, your cable at home is generally not deductible. But like if you buy, if you're in a band and you have to cover a song and you have to buy the sheet music, that's 100% deductible.
Yeah.
And I actually have a list. I have a tax prep guide available on my website.
Yeah.
And
I think I downloaded that and I read over it.
Oh, good, good, good. Yeah. All that's deductible. So those are the kinds of things where usually, if people are doing this for the first time, or if they are coming into it when not fully organized, I'll have them print out all their bank statements or download all their bank statements and look through each month, literally each and every single transaction. That's usually, so if you're listening to this and you want a place to start with your bookkeeping, open up January's bank statement and look at every single line. You can export it as a CSV into Excel. And if it's not a business expense, delete it out. If it is a business expense, leave it or highlight it. And then you'll start to see patterns. Like every month I'm paying for Squarespace. Every month I'm paying for my video editing software. And then you can say, oh, I know I had that for 12 months and it was $15.99. So 12 times $15.99, that's how much that's deductible. And then that goes straight on your tax return. And so I'll go through the list and like, I'll have the list on one window and my bank statement on the other window and compare them back and forth. Like, okay, did I take any courses this year? Oh yes, I did. Actually, I took a bunch of them. you know, and here's all of them. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. That's great.
Cool. All right. What else do you need help with?
I don't know. I guess like once my band stuff is separate from my personal stuff, I think it's going to make my life a lot easier. Mm-hmm. I think like I've definitely held off on it because it feels like this big daunting task to start an LLC and be responsible to do taxes for your business and for yourself. But I think honestly, at the end of the day, it's going to make my life and everyone's life just smoother and more straightforward and just easier to understand, which is probably better in the end, I guess, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely can be more stressful mm-hmm. if it's not organized and nobody's paying attention to it and you don't yeah. know who's supposed to be doing the banking. And so that's one of the things that I always suggest goes in the LLC operating agreement.
Yeah.
And talk about it when you're setting it up, you know, it's the kind of thing where like, if you talk about it in the presence of a lawyer, it just feels more serious.
Yeah.
You know? And so if you're like with your bandmates and you're sitting there and you're talking to a lawyer and you say, all right, friends, what are we going to do if we have a big expense due and the bank account is empty?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? And then somebody throws out an idea and then you converse about it. And then you say, okay, so we're all going to agree to contribute 25% of the expense as a loan to the business that we're going to get reimbursed for.
Yeah.
As opposed to a capital investiture or a gift or, you know, any of the other ways yeah. that you can give money to a business. So we're all going to loan. Okay. Put that in the operating agreement. And then you say, who's responsible for the taxes? And you talk about it. Mm-hmm. And somebody says, I'll be the one that does the taxes.
Yeah.
And then you say, who's responsible for the bookkeeping? Usually the same person mm-hmm. that does the taxes.
Yeah.
And you just go through this like laundry list of tasks and write it all down in this operating agreement so that you are legally bound to it, which sounds scary if you are not invested. Mm-hmm. But if you are invested, it should feel peaceful. If yeah. everybody in the band is totally on board, then there's nothing like really serious or scary about putting it in writing. Yeah. It's just a thing that's happening, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing I want to say, LLCs can be dissolved. Partnerships can be dissolved. Mm-hmm. Yes, it requires a little bit of work, but you're not signing your life away.
Yeah.
You definitely want to have all these conversations because sometimes it can feel like a divorce when mm-hmm. you're separating assets, you know?
Yeah.
But nothing in the world is permanent. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, if you start a company now, you're legally bound to it for the rest of time.
Yeah.
You're not.
That's true. Another question about expenses. So I write for people that aren't my band sometimes, I collaborate. So I have my own publishing set up with SongTrust.
Okay.
That's that expense I pay for SongTrust. It's a one-time fee, but this year I happen to pay for it. With stuff like that where I'm paying for this thing individually of the band, that does have to do with the band still, kind of, or making music. Is that going to go on a separate Schedule C? So like it's not a production expense, it's a independent performance expense. And that would go with whatever royalties I make that the band pays me out as an expense and different Schedule C, correct?
Yeah. So this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the publishing company and whether the band is going to have its own publishing company or whether each of the four of you are going to have your own individual ones. Mm-hmm. So like if you look at a Beyonce song,
yeah,
it's going to have 8 different publishing companies. Because mm-hmm. they all have their own publishing company.
Yeah.
Everybody does it differently. Some bands, right? Like I know of one band that has 6 members. Mm-hmm. And so that band publishes its own music.
Yeah, for sure.
The band. And so like, but that publishing LLC will have mm-hmm. to exist forever in one way or another. That, because those songs will continue to get played and continue to earn publishing royalties. Mm-hmm. And so that can have future implications, doing it as a company, as a business that's related. So To answer your question, it depends.
Yeah.
If you are writing your songs and all four of you are publishing them separately under your own publishing companies, then that's what your Schedule C is going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be your own publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
And the independent performer stuff will fit under there, but it's like a publishing company.
Oh, I see.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. I just kind of mean like I pay for an ASCAP membership. I pay for a SongTrust membership.
Yeah.
I pay for gear. Those things are expenses for me as a performer and like songwriter.
That the band will never reimburse you for.
Yeah. Because that's my like responsibility.
Yeah. That's its own separate Schedule C.
Yes. Okay.
Separate from the production stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Separate from the band.
Yes.
It's like any income thing.
Yeah. Any income I'm making from like SongTrust will pay me. They do my publishing for me. So anything I make from publishing will be paid to me from them, and that will be the independent performer.
Correct.
Separate yes. thing. Okay, cool.
Yes, yeah. yes, yes, yes.
It makes sense. That yeah. makes sense.
And TurboTax actually just switched the way that they do that. So when you got that royalty statement from SongTrust,
yeah.
TurboTax specifically, I haven't done this with other software providers yet, but TurboTax will say, are these royalties connected to a Schedule C?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say yes. Mm-hmm. And then it'll make it flow properly.
Yeah.
Because this is a tricky part of the music business, because in other areas of royalties, those are not always subject to self-employment tax. You know, if I'm a teacher, but I write a chapter of a textbook, I'm not an author. I'm not a writer. So the royalties that I get from each of the sale of those books is not my self-employment activity.
Mm-hmm.
It's just royalty, and it's taxed as a capital gain and not subjected to self-employment tax, which is 15.3%. So that's a lot. In the music business, your royalties are subjected to self-employment tax, and a big part of your self-employed activities is increasing, like part of your profit driver as a self-employed musician is to increase your royalty streams and get sync licenses and everything. So you have to subject them to self-employment tax at the end. And for a while, TurboTax didn't do that automatically. You had to manually move it from the royalty form to the self-employment form. But just this past year, I noticed the first time that you can click a button now that says, yes, this should be subject to self-employment tax.
Okay.
That's going to make people owe more.
Yeah.
Because 15% is a lot.
Yeah.
So if you're getting big royalty checks, you should pay estimates on them.
Okay.
Definitely. So there's like a lot of different things you can do. And there's a lot of different deductions, like health insurance, if you're self-employed, is deductible. Contributing to retirement accounts is deductible. Putting money in a health savings account, things like that. So there's a lot of different ways that you can reduce your tax liability if you're talking to somebody regularly throughout the year and not, you know, just avoiding this completely. And then all of a sudden it's April and you're like, oh shit, I need to file my tax return. But if you're waiting until April to think about your taxes, you are definitely leaving money on the table, because the calendar year ends and you're not able to change anything.
Yeah. Interesting. So are estimates, is that a required thing? Like you're going to get in trouble if you don't pay estimates. Okay, cool. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. If you owe, they give you the first year, you can pretty, you know, you can slide by for the first year. But if you owe more than $1,000 2 years in a row, they start charging you penalties and interest. Okay. And the penalties accrue. So if you owed, if you had a profitable first quarter and you owed and you didn't pay, you're getting a penalty for not paying the first quarter on the second quarter and the third quarter and the fourth quarter.
Okay.
And so I've seen people owe, people who didn't pay estimates owe like $1,500 extra. And I subscribe to the belief that you should not pay the IRS any more than you're legally required to.
Yeah.
So it's definitely beneficial to pay estimates if you're profitable.
Is there like, would QuickBooks help you keep track of that? Like, is there something that helps you keep track of what you're making and what you're spending and how much you're going to owe?
Yes.
On those quarterly things?
Yes, yes, yes. So QuickBooks has a bunch of different versions.
Okay.
And the more you want them to do, the more you're going to pay for it. Of course. But QuickBooks is nice because it syncs to TurboTax.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself super profitable on a regular basis, it's worth it to invest in the version of QuickBooks that links up to your TurboTax, knows your tax history, knows your expected deductions and what your other income streams are going to look like, and then is able to tell you this is your estimates. But estimates are always based on what you owed the prior year. So remember I said, if you owe more than $1,000 2 years in a row, that first year, if you didn't owe the prior year, that first year, they're not going to charge you penalties, but your tax return is going to automatically print estimate vouchers. You have to file those.
Okay.
So many people just skip them. They're like, it's not a suggestion. If your tax return is printing estimate vouchers, those are required and you are getting charged interest if you don't file them.
Where do you get those from? Like if you're not getting them, are you good?
Yeah.
Or do you need to go look for them?
No, they'll be literally the very first page of your tax return when you file.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you're not getting them, then you're probably fine. If you are getting them, you definitely want to be filing them. And if you're like, I know I'm going to be profitable this year, but this is my first year and I don't know how much to pay or what I should pay or how to do it, like reach out to me. And that's one of the things we're going to go over in the business bootcamp. So, you know, they make it pretty easy. You just go to irs.gov/epay and it like walks you through it, but it's pretty simple.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
What other questions do you have for me?
I think I feel kind of good now. I have a lot to do on the personal side and the band side. But for now, for the current moment, I feel good. I'm definitely going to come do that. What did you call it?
Level Up Your Business.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a free boot camp. Sweet. And that's going to be an overview.
Okay.
Where we just kind of talk about what needs to happen in order to take your business from this level to this level.
Cool. That sounds great, man. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So my last question for you is what in this conversation do you think was the most useful for you?
I mean, all of it. probably just the guidance of like the input from an outside perspective of what I'm doing. Because when you're living your day-to-day life, you're just taking care of what you need to do. The perspective of like, oh yeah, if you're getting a W-9 for a show, you should have an LLC. Or you separate what you're doing for your personal stuff into separate like categories. That makes so much sense, but I just didn't see it, I guess.
Sure.
So just that like knowledge and guidance has been amazing. And the little things you mentioned, like QuickBooks and working with an accountant and actually sitting down and asking those questions with an expert. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Thank you so much. Always feel good after I talk with you I always feel better about what I'm doing with my life. So I do really value that.
I think you're doing great. I'm like,
thank you.
You are kicking ass. And like even Sarah brought you up the other day when I was on the phone with her. Oh my God. Yeah. Chesney, you impress every single person that you talk to.
That's amazing. To me. Thank you.
You are a force to be reckoned with. And
Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah. Keep it up. Don't let anybody dull your sparkle.
Thank you. Last thing, I think that you should definitely keep up with everything you're doing. Like, I know it's probably really hard and like not something that it's like a new idea and like a new way to think about, you know, money and taxes and stuff, but whatever you're doing, like I notice when you like, you're trying different things and I'm cheering for you. So
thank you.
Good job. And I'm proud of you and you're great. So that's all.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That really means a lot to me. It has been really hard. It has been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like just the whole music business from March 12th of 2020.
Yeah.
To now it's like brutal. And I know everybody is feeling it and it's not just me and it's not just the performers and it's like you know.
So. I mean, podcasts are my primary form of learning new stuff, to be honest.
That's great.
I just throw them on a road trip or whatever. And
So I love to hear that.
I think it's going to be a great thing. I'm excited. I've also always wanted to be on a podcast. So
this is great. Yay.
Thank you for letting me be on.
Oh, you're welcome. I hope you'll come back. I hope you'll come back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. This it's really nice to talk to you. I think you're awesome. I hope that we have like a long and fruitful business relationship together.
Yes, me too.
All right. I got to go deal with my baby.
All right. Good luck. Bye.
When Songs Mean Business is a production of Steph Belcher Business Management, LLC. Huge thank you to Chesney Walters for joining me today. This episode was hosted, edited, and produced by me, Steph Belcher. Please make sure to join us in our Facebook group, When Songs Mean Business, and follow us on Instagram at When Songs Mean Business. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful day.